Today, I will be continuing on with my message series on steadfast faith. And we've been going through the first letter of Peter. And a couple of weeks ago, it's been a couple of weeks now, we looked at living in harmony with each other, being sympathetic and loving and compassionate and humble, not returning evil for evil, and we are instead to seek peace and pursue it. These are expectations of us. And this brings us back to something that Peter shared a while back. Because we are living such good lives in the here and now, that others will see Christ in us and in our works. So let's go to our next few verses that we'll be covering. It'll be 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 13, if you want to turn in your Bibles to that. Otherwise, I'll have it up on the screen here. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. These are a couple of interesting verses. Most would read these and not really think much about it, but I want to remind you who Peter is writing to. Peter is writing to a persecuted church. He is writing to a people that he knows is suffering. But he writes, who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? I at first feel like, is Peter losing his mind? I mean, really, the Christians he's writing to, I would say they probably feel a lot like a flock of sheep that are surrounded by packs of wolves. And he asks this question, who's going to harm you? Well, any one of the wolves. I was looking at some psalms this morning, and I decided not to read some of them, but a number of times King David talked about his enemies were surrounding him. I think it's Psalm 57. That psalm ends with David saying, but I'll praise you. I'll continue to give you praise and glory. Even though he feels like his enemies are surrounding him, these people that Peter is writing to, the persecuted church, they have to feel like they're surrounded by people who are against them. These are Christians that are being persecuted because of their faith. They're being persecuted. I don't think Peter's suffering from memory loss. He knows this. But I think there's something here that we do not fully understand. That the persecuted Christians in the world here and now, they understand this a little better. You see, they have a different attitude. Here's something that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church in his time of trial. I'll be looking at Philippians chapter 1. Starting with verse 20, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. See, this is an attitude here that's something for a lot of us we struggle with. That last portion right there. That my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I die. Moving on, verse 21. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I am torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. I think that we often struggle with death because we have relatively peaceful and comfortable lives here. We're not suffering. We not only have our necessities, but many of us have excess or an abundance of things. We're not being persecuted as this church would have understood persecution. The Apostle Paul is basically on house arrest up until his execution, and life wasn't great, and so it was, and that's the way it was for the persecuted church. Life wasn't great. To die is to be with Christ, and that means no more suffering, no more persecution. No more enduring difficulty of life. But to live on is to continue serving and bringing glory to the Lord. So either way, Paul sees it a win. But he readily admits his preference is to go and be with the Lord. For many of us to talk about life and death like this is not a usual occurrence. We talk about life, but often shy away from talking about death. But if we're completely in the Lord's hands, then what's the worst that can happen? If my trust rests solely in Christ, my faith is all in Him, what's the worst that can happen? No one can take away my hope. No one can take away the love that Jesus has for me. Yes, people and governments can oppress and make life hard and even painful, very painful. But as followers of Christ, nobody can take away our eternal reward. Let's read on in our verses in 1 Peter. Let's read those verses again that I already read. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. If you are doing good, it is less likely that you'll be singled out for persecution. But at the same time, this church knew suffering. So why does Peter write that question? Maybe it's getting his readers to think about the importance of good deeds even in bad times so that Christ is glorified. That could be. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." But it is verse 14 that Peter kind of brings it back around, understanding that the reality is there is suffering. Even if you still suffer doing good and doing what is right, you're blessed. Again, this is hard to understand for us. If I'm suffering for my faith, if I am enduring suffering, can I really see that as a blessing? See, Peter's writing some things to really make us think here. And hopefully that's what you're doing, not falling asleep. But can I really see suffering as a blessing? That would be difficult for sure, but suffering would be unbearable for someone who has no knowledge of Christ or has no hope in Christ. Well, there's a difference. See, when we suffer as Christians, as painful as that may be, we are still blessed because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I have Christ. And we keep serving Him until we are in the Lord's presence. We are blessed because we have Christ in us. And we have a hope that gives us an unexplainable peace. This life here and now is temporary. I think Peter reminds his readers of this a lot. And it's true. This life here and now is temporary, but life in general is eternal. And I am so thankful for Christ because I get a peace knowing that no matter what happens in this moment, there's always something better coming. what do we have to fear? Well, we don't fear death. We don't have to fear death. Something I've seen in many stories, just reading about some of the persecution stories, and I've read a number of them this week. Something I've seen in those stories is that those who have lost loved ones and endured torture because of their faith, they often speak of forgiving their tormentors. They speak of hoping that their tormentors come to know Christ. They also speak of finishing well. I find that interesting because maybe deep down, maybe I would be the one to say, Lord, kill them all. But reading a lot of these persecution stories, there's a different attitude, an attitude of forgiveness, a desire to see those that hurt them come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. I think that I have a lot to learn, even. A lot to learn from those whose faith has been tested in the fires of persecution. And I ask, and I wonder, how would we fare? How would we do if we were persecuted like that? If we were persecuted, would our faith result in boldness and blessings? Or would there be a lack of faith resulting in fear and hiding? Even when we are not persecuted, are we still sharing Christ with others? These are just some things to think about. Let's read on, starting with verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that we have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. When I have talked about, I've already talked about some of these things. I've talked about setting our hearts on the Lord. To set your heart, I kind of like how they word that, to set apart Christ as Lord. I think it's interesting how that is really bringing about that, okay, Jesus isn't just a Savior, He's also my Lord. He's my Lord. In senior camp this year, there were four major points that Jeremy, the speaker, hit on in an acronym, MOVE. Now, some of you youth that are here, can you tell me what those letters stood for in moving your mountains? So we have MOVE. Move mountains. What does M stand for? Master. Jesus is Master. What does O stand for? Obey, obedience, obeying the Master. V? Values, taking on the Master's values. E? Engage. Engage the mountains. But the first one is Master. Another word for Master is Lord. When we commit our lives and fully submit our lives to Jesus Christ, we are putting Him in the position of Master. We are making Him Lord of our lives. That verse 15 speaks of just that, setting Christ as Lord in your hearts. It is fully committed, fully submitted to Him in spite of the good or bad things happening around us in this fallen and sinful world. It is relying on Him as the Master to carry us through even in the times of suffering. It is the hope we have in Him that gives us peace and joy even when there's the presence of suffering. Yes, we can have peace and we can have joy even in the midst of suffering, because Christ is the one to bring those. Are people going to notice this? Absolutely. If you have a peace and a joy while you're suffering, people are going to notice there's something different. Even today, we might even be asked, what gives us joy? What gives us peace? What gives us hope? Why are we full of life? Why are we different? Peter's saying, in boldness, tell them the truth. Give them the answer for the hope that we have. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Don't shy away. Luke 12:11-12 says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. I know there have been opportunities that I could have shared my faith in my lifetime, but I let fear keep me from saying anything. I wish I could go back and do it over, but it doesn't work like that. And so I take those memories, those times, and I learn from it. But I know that if I would have said something, the Holy Spirit would have at least been allowed to work through me. Peter knows that persecution is harsh, but he also knows there are softened hearts ready to hear the message of Christ. Let us simply put our trust and faith in Jesus as our Lord and Master and allow Him to speak through us by sharing His good news from the gospel. It's interesting, the next portion in 1 Peter speaks of sharing the message of Christ with gentleness and respect. Wouldn't you think that would be obvious? So I remember in the undergrad college that I attended in Minnesota, there was like a square, kind of a place where a lot of people would speak up on things that they were passionate about. Oftentimes, maybe it was politics, maybe it's other things going on at the school. But there was also times that Christians would go there and I'll say share the gospel. Now, I'm sure there were probably some that did it well, but I'll tell you the ones I remember that stood out are the ones that kind of stood up on the soapbox telling everybody that they're all sinners and that they're all going to hell and they're going to burn in hell. If that's all you heard, then you miss the really good part about Jesus' love and desire to save and transform your life. So is there a way that we can share our faith that's going to close the door versus open it? Yeah. How we share our faith is important. And sometimes our judgment of people will get in the way of truly sharing the good news. Yes, is burning in hell for sinners, is that something real in the Bible? Yes, it is. But how we share it, are we showing the love of Christ in our words? Or are we just showing condemnation? There's a difference. There is a difference. So even in a time of persecution, I'm sure some of those people that are suffering, that's what they want to say. you're all going to burn. But Peter's saying, if there's doors open to hear the word, let them hear the good stuff, which will lead into the bad. It's going to. And we want to share the truth, all the truth, but we want to be able to share it in a way that's going to be heard. Gentleness. Gentleness and respect. Keeping those in mind. So if someone asks me why I am different, what gives me the hope that I have, I can respond by sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through me and allowing those doors to be open. Not that I am going to say anything that they're going to receive Christ. It's going to be the work of the Holy Spirit. But we're allowing ourselves to be used by Him. Today is Communion Sunday, a day that we remember the tremendous sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, a day that we remember the suffering Jesus endured to bring us peace. A peace with God our Creator. A peace in having our sins forgiven. A peace in knowing that we're not alone and that we have Jesus as our advocate. A peace in knowing our future is not of eternal suffering, but of eternal presence of Jesus. Isaiah 53:5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. We've kind of been talking about suffering. And we see here that Christ truly suffered. And He didn't suffer because He did anything to deserve it. He suffered because He took our place. Though we might endure suffering in some way today or in our time on earth, we know that this life is temporary. And because of what Christ has done, the healing that He has brought us, we look forward to not only having Him in us now, but we look forward to being with Him for an eternity. And we give Him thanks and we give Him praise. I don't think we can truly give Him enough thanks, but we can give Him praise.